from a program that most of us who have our hearts right with the Lord know is one of the greatest television programs ever made. And it's one of the purest shows ever done, and it teaches life lessons, and it gives us a perfect launch into the life lesson that we're going to explore in the Scripture today. Now, the first thing we need to do is bring the house lights down. House lights down. Make sure the volume is on from the computer for video, because I want them to hear it from the get-go. All right, let's go to, we need the dark lights. And then roll tape.
Like, it is the
and when Millie Parsons walked into church with that hair, I come near dropping my hymn book.
I couldn't believe it either. After being a brunette all these years.
Aunt Bea, can I have a candy bar?
No, dear.
I suppose she thinks those blonde streaks in her hair make her look younger. So our new postman will give her a second look.
Anybody who'd give Millie a second look would know those blonde tips came straight from a bottle. I declare, it's disgusting the way some women try to be what they aren't.
Why can't I have a candy bar?
Because you can't, Opie. Now stop interrupting elders when they're talking.
Here you are, Emma. I'll put it on your bill. It comes to $1.34. 60 cents for toothpaste, 29 cents for rubbing alcohol, 45 cents for peroxide.
I only use it for gargling. I'm one person that doesn't try to hide her age. I'm in my 40s and I admit it.
Golly, A.B., she's way younger than you are. She's in her 40s and you're already...
Oh, Pete, why don't you go over there and get yourself a candy bar?
I just didn't want the boy to hear. Speaking of people trying to hide their age, do you know the real reason Rose Blake went to Raleigh?
No, why?
I thought she went up to visit her niece. That's her story. I happen to know she went to buy a new set of teeth.
She is the vein.
Oh, my goodness.
Never do what she will do.
Captain, you know, we reach the age when you
have to get you off.
Morning, ladies. My goodness, don't you look happy. Must be cutting somebody up pretty good. Oh, I was just funning. Now, howdy, Fred. Could I have some sulfur powder?
Andy, are you hurt?
Oh, no. Barney just cut his finger a little bit, taking his gun apart, and I don't even get an infection.
Here's a sample. You might as well sprinkle the whole thing on it.
All right. Much obliged, Fred. Bye, ladies.
Bye, Andy.
Just a little cut, and he come running all the way over here for sulfur powder.
All the way? Emma, the courthouse is just across the street.
All the same, I think there's more to this than meets the eye. Oh, he says it's a scratch on his finger. But I notice he's calling on one of those miracle drugs to heal Barney.
Dear, I was right there when Andy came rushing in. Barney got his hand caught in the revolver and got himself a serious infection.
Well, the way I heard it, Barney was cleaning his gun or something, and he ripped his arm clear up to his shoulder.
Did you hear the terrible news? Barney Fife shot himself in the chest.
Where's finger?
Oh, all right, I guess. I suppose that sulfur powder will fix it up.
Yeah, they say that's good stuff.
You think it'd be all right if I took the bandage off and let the air to it? They say the air is good for it.
It'd be all right if you don't let the dirt get in it. Let me see it. No, it looks fine.
Where are you looking? It isn't there. It's over here.
Where?
Right there.
Oh, right there?
No, right here.
Oh, it looks fine.
Think so?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. It's my trigger finger. I lose that, I might as well leave the business. Sheriff's office. Are we aware of what? Well, who...
What's that?
Somebody just called to say I'm dead.
What?
That call. They said Barney Fife shot himself in the chest.
You did?
You'd think I'd know it if I shot myself in the chest, wouldn't you? That's smart.
I think so.
Yeah.
They had you all laid out, didn't they?
Yeah. Imagine that, the dumb bunnies.
And so now you're dead.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you couldn't have been very old.
No.
Well, they say only the good die young.
That's right.
Yeah, yesterday you looked so healthy.
Yeah, felt good.
Yeah, yesterday laughing and happy, yeah. Had everything in the world to live for. Yeah, well, yesterday laughing and happy, and today.
Actually, I don't think it's too far.
For he was a jolly good pal.
No, I mean, when you stop to think about it, Andy, actually...
What was the matter?
Well, I mean, it's not a joking matter.
Well, we all have to go sometime.
No, we're just stopping, Andy.
Well, Barney, I was just funny.
Oh, yeah, you were fun, and you're funny, all right. You're a scream. You ought to get a job on one of those excursion boats.
Barney.
Oh, Andy, we heard the terrible news about Barney.
Oh, everybody's talking about it.
We came just as soon as we... Barney, you're standing.
You're darn right I'm standing. Anything wrong with that?
But words got around that you shot yourself. They say you're gone.
Well, I ain't. I'm right here, Barney Fife in the flesh. Not much, maybe, but I'm here.
Oh, for God's sakes, how did such a story get out anyhow?
You mean you don't know?
No, how could we?
Well, when I come in the drugstore this morning to get some sulfur powder for Barney's finger, there was just three women present. There was you two and Clara Lindsay. Now, you was the only ones that heard me say about Barney having this small cut.
So,
from a small cut, it took you all exactly 3.5 hours to get him killed off.
All right, I had to stop it somewhere. Isn't that good? Bring those lights up for me, guys. So, if you want to see the rest of that, there's something weird about the lights. I need some more something. There we go. Okay. That's in the season one. And it's called Those Gossiping Men because what the ladies do is actually they start something to trip the men, and the men get caught up in the gossip cycle, and it just goes to show that we all struggle with gossip from time to time. Because isn't it really interesting what we can do with information and how stories seem to grow with each telling of the story? And before you know it, it seems like so often the truth winds up all but gone. The truth gets lost in a jumble of gossip and confusion. And unfortunately, sometimes it gets caught up in outright lies. We know that happens. We have what seems to be an innate, built-in sense of sick satisfaction in talking about other people. And whether you are willing to admit it or not, every single one of us struggles with gossip. And sometimes some of us struggle with gossip on steroids. They call that slander. That's where you tell stuff on purpose to hurt someone. And that, unfortunately, that happens sometimes as well. And so as we continue in this series that we are calling Training the Tongue, we're moving on past, kind of, sort of past the issue of truthfulness. Last week we talked about truth. We worked together to lay a solid foundation of truth and the biblical expression of it and understanding definition and how God calls us and expects us as the people of God to be a people of the truth. And today we're going to get to the root of the mouth problem that invades and attacks so many relationships, so many families, and unfortunately, most unfortunately, affects so many churches. We're going to delve into this world of gossip. I found an interesting quote, and some of you recognize this fellow. He's that great American philosopher, Will Rogers. And Will Rogers once said, "The only time people dislike gossip is when you gossip about them." And there's a lot of truth in that. Of course, he was a clever guy. He had really neat things to say about a whole lot of things. But there's a lot of truth there, and it kind of helps us give a little bit of understanding. But in order to make sure we know exactly where we're going, I want us to define gossip. We're going to talk about gossip defined. You know, culture defines it a certain way. Maybe the dictionary does. The Bible maybe has something altogether different to say. You know, there's an ancient proverb that says this: gossip is a rumor that goes in one ear and out many mouths. And that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of very, very true. You know, there's one helpful dictionary. It's a little bit more analytical in its approach. It says, gossip is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. That's just really scientific, right? I mean, but it's a good one. I mean, that's a pretty good definition, pretty descriptive, very much on target. But, you know, as a people of the Word of God, we need to always turn to the Scriptures when we consider any subject. We need to ask the question, you know, how does the Bible define gossip? What does the Bible say about it? And as we dig in, the biblical definition and kind of the description, the explanation, is probably one that you haven't considered a lot. That thing, I need you to mute that video button. Awesome. Thank you. It's maybe not one that you've thought about. And it's a little bit, you know, I was kind of shocked as I dug deeper into it that it kind of described gossip the way it does. But here's what I want you to write down. Go on the back of that worship guide. It has fill in the blank section. This is kind of how I keep you tracking with where we're headed and where our thought and where the Bible's taking us. Here's what I want you to write down as a biblical definition of gossip. It says that gossip is the betrayal of a confidence. The betrayal of a confidence. Now let's look at a couple of verses. In the wisdom of the Proverbs, both of them, Proverbs 11:13, says, a gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Pretty good, right? Proverbs 20, verse 19, the one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip. And of course, we know that gossip can sometimes be taken to level 2, sometimes to level 10. And that's something that we call slander. And I want you to write that definition down as well. Slander is particularly malicious speech about another person. That's just where it gets nasty. That's not just sharing little things. You know, the little ladies in the video, wasn't that cute? They're talking about the lady, you know, going to get a new set of teeth and the one putting little blonde tips in her hair. And they're just kind of semi-harmless things, you know. But there are some times where people will, for whatever reason, will start out with the intent to bring someone down. And they'll spread things and say things. And once that fire is lit, it's hard to contain. And that's something that we know is slander. James talks about slander in James 4, verse 11. He says, don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. That key word there is defame. That is, in its Greek form, the same word as slander. It's a subtle difference, but it's a very important difference. Gossip is something that we can get caught up in, like a web. We get drawn into without any desire to really harm anyone. We get caught up in it not intending to hurt anybody. But malice, from its slander, from its inception, is malicious. It has a desire to do harm. And so at its very essence then, biblically, gossip is the betrayal of a trust. It's the spreading of secrets, true or not. Slander takes that kind of to another level. And here's the thing. You've done it before. And I have done it before. It is so easy to get caught up in the excitement and just the intrigue of talking about someone who is not there. And it's a behavior that's just so electrifying and for whatever reason so attractive to us. And yet at the very same time, we know socially, we know relationally, we know biblically that it is destructive. And so it's this destructive behavior that we're going to study together today, that we're going to seek to avoid. And before we go any further, we need to pray, because we need to make sure we're not just looking at this from like a pop psychology standpoint, or just even from a sociology relational standpoint. This has got to be based in Scripture. We need to be looking at it through the eyes of God and the ways of God. And so I want us to pray, and then we'll dig deeper. So pray with me, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's turn it all over to the Lord. Father, we continue today on this mission to train our tongues, to train our words, to gain control of our mouths and the words that come forth out of them. And we know that this quest, your Bible teaches us, goes so much deeper than just our tongues. It goes to the matter of the heart. Our words merely reflect what is on the inside trying to make its way out of us. And so today, as we tackle this very troublesome, sometimes tricky subject of gossip, our seemingly insatiable habit to just this desire to talk about people. God, give us wisdom, give us change. Show us today the power of our words. Remind us for the thousandth time of our sins of gossip and slander, and give us power over that sin, O Lord. Help us to recognize these reasons why we might be tempted to gossip. Show us the damage that it unleashes in other people's lives and in our own lives, and then give us a strategy and the will to fight against it. Because we can't do this on our own, Lord. It's like most things, God. We just can't accomplish it on our own. We can't do it in our own power, because when we try that, we fail every time. We need your help, because you are our sovereign. You are our king. You are our God. So guide us through this and help us to find a way to the other side of gossip, to get beyond such a harmful, such a destructive behavior. And we pray this in that perfect and sinless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, before we get into the nuts and bolts of gossip, we need to first consider why it's so alluring. You know what I mean? The lure of gossip. Why is it we just like it so much? Why? And we do. We do. The Bible describes it. I mean, it's something that has existed since the inception of humanity. It's a problem that mankind has dealt with. So why is it so irresistible to us? Well, write a couple things down for me. Number one, we know from the Word that gossip just tastes so delicious. It just tastes so good. I mean, it's absolutely delicious. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Says a gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. Choice, what is choice food? Huh? You know, it's not the cost cutter brand stuff, you know what I mean? That's not the generic. I mean, we're talking about top shelf. What do you like? What's your most just favorite food in the world? Something comes to mind probably right now, right? You know what I mean? Now, I'll just go ahead and confess right now. I'm not Jewish in my roots. My favorite is bacon. Bacon. You can put bacon in and on anything, and it improves it, whatever it is. I like bacon. I'm almost, you know, I know theologically I might be a little bit off, but you almost have to think that manna from heaven was bacon. I don't know. I mean, that's just me. But think about your favorite thing to eat, your favorite meal. Maybe for you it's biscuits and gravy. You know what I mean? But whatever it might be, that choice food. Was that Zach back there? Mark, Zach likes it biscuits and gravy, doesn't he? He's like, you know. But whatever it might be, just think of how good your favorite dish, your most favorite dish in the world, that is choice food. It's the most delicious flavor. It's the thing you like the most. And that's how, you know, choice food tastes so wonderful going in, doesn't it? You know, it's the kind that you want to wallow it around in there and you don't want to swallow it just yet, right? But gossip kind of tastes real good coming out. I mean, that's how the Scriptures define it. It's like choice food that goes deep into our innermost, just irresistible, all right? Now, a second thing we need to understand, number two, is that gossip appeals to our most fundamental, depraved human nature. And depravity is just a biblical concept. It's just the absolute existence of sin. It's what, you know, before Jesus and without Jesus, it describes humanity. We are helplessly, hopelessly lost in sin. It is our sin nature, okay? It's just that human depravity. It is real and exists. Now, I've got a verse I want to read for you, and I'm going to give you some context, because this is one that some people don't like this passage very much. It's in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Paul said, at the same time, they also learn to be idle. Going from house to house, they're not only idle, but are also gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Now, here's the unfortunate side of this. This passage is one of the infamous passages of Paul that has him labeled as a sexist by the modern community. What he was talking about, I'll tell you who he's talking about in this verse. He's talking about widow women under the age of 60. And he did not want them enrolled in the widow provision program of the church under age 60 because it was his opinion that the ladies under 60 need to be married, and they need to have a family, be running a home, because he was getting to the essence. And I know with our modern sensitivities, the stuff he's saying makes us cringe. You know, there's great offense there. But his point being, if we're idle and we don't have we're not doing the things that we ought to be doing, if we don't have a mission, if we don't have a passion, when we're just left with not a whole lot of focus and things to do, we fall back to human depravity. And one of our most fundamental things that we will do is talk about other people. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so it just goes back to that human nature. Let's talk about a few things within our human nature. You see, there's some little bullets on there. What are some things? What are some things in our nature that gossip appeals to? Well, first off, it appeals to our curiosity, right? Because we're inquisitive people. And you know what other kind of people we are sometimes? That's a real short word. Can anybody guess what goes there? Nosy. Y'all probably never heard that one in church, did you? Nosy. We are an inquisitive people, and we are nosy people. And you know that it's true. You know it's true. We love mystery. We love suspense. We love intrigue. And whenever we can have a little bit of that introduced into our daily, ordinary lives, we get it wherever we can take it. And a lot of times it comes in the form of that juicy tidbit, that gossip, that word, that even unkind word spoken about someone else. There's nothing that tastes so good as those fat, juicy chunks of gossip. A second thing, and it's a little bit more, I think gossip used to be like that. Gossip has changed in our culture. Do you know why? We have an overabundance of time, first off, and an overabundance of technology. Now, I know some of you don't think you have it. People are just, I'm so busy. And you're not too busy to have about 4 or 5 hours of screen time on a phone every day. And the hours that we spend on Facebook, we all know what the phrase, when someone talks about something going viral, you know what that is? That's like gossip. Now, when I was a kid and I got into trouble, something bad went down, or I did something I wasn't supposed to do, it generally took 2 or 3 hours maybe for word to get back to my mama. But it got back because somebody knew and somebody told, and usually by the time the story got back, it was way worse than what I actually did, right? You know, my crime got elevated in stature, just like Barney, right? But in our day and time, we have technology that unleashes untruth instantly into our world, instantly into our culture. And that untruth destroys. Ask those boys from that high school up in Covington, where something was distorted, made it onto a news thing, and boom, got blown up, and their lives, their reputations were ruined because of it. You know what I mean? And so stuff gets out, and it gets, you know, all you have to do now is hit share. 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 And stuff gets shared. Whether it's true or not, it gets shared. It kills me. I see people that I know, people that I care about, and they share things like on Facebook all the time, and I'm just like, oh, you know, just look it up. You know? Just look it up. Because not everything, Thomas Jefferson said, not everything you read on the internet's true. I saw that online somewhere, right? So our overabundance of time and technology, and then the last thing that gossip appeals to is our ego, our egos. I don't know if there's egos is even a valid word, because ego is the I. Ego, ego is in Latin, I. It's all about me, my, I. You know, we love to be, some of you don't, some of you are frightened to death to be the center of attention. I'm not talking about up and in front of people, but in your social circle, whatever your social circle might be, you love to be the center of attention. in that social circle. And being the bearer of bad news or the bearer of juicy news instantaneously makes you the epicenter of attention within that social group. And so if you think about it deeply, spreading gossip ultimately is really not about the person that you are talking about or even the information being betrayed. Being a gossip is ultimately about us. Being a gossip is about self and elevating self by spreading things about someone else. And so we've established a cultural, a dictionary, a biblical definition of gossip. We've invested a little bit of time in understanding why we like it so much. And so now we got to get really down deep into the heart of the personal spiritual matter. What effect does gossip have on the gossiper? We know how harmful gossip is to the person who gets talked about. We know how it is. Some of us, most of us, have been on the receiving end of loose talk. We have had the things said about us. We know how that burns. We know how much that hurts. But what about the talker? That's what we don't talk about much. When we talk about gossip, we focus on the person that's being hurt. We're focused on the, and that's valid. We should. But as believers, what I want us to consider is that if you get caught up in that behavior, what's it doing to you? What's the effect of being a gossip upon the gossiper? How does gossiping harm you, Christian? And I want you to consider a few things. The first one being this: it allows evil to gain a foothold in your life. Do you know what a foothold is? What is a foothold? Does anyone know? We don't use that word much. Huh? Place of rest. Now, you're thinking about this. I have a picture. Right? You're thinking about a climber. Right? Because a foothold, you know, and I'm, you know, Lord loving people. But you might be one of them, but that's just not right. You know, I've seen that on the TV. No, they're not, that's not right. Especially, I mean, if you got a rope or something, you know, I could almost understand, but I don't even like driving over a bridge, you know what I mean? So I'm, you know, that. But a foothold is a place where you get get your foot implanted to give you the position to actually move to your next destination. Does that make sense? So a foothold, you can't climb to the next step. A climber can't move up another foot or two without first getting that one foot. That you can't skip one. You got to have a foothold to move forward. We have a phrase that we use sometimes in our culture. We used to about getting a toe in the door, and we know what that means, right? You know, if the cops knock on the door and folks don't want them to get in, all they got to get is get that foot in the door, right? We got a police officer in here. You can get a foot or a knee in that door, and you can get that door open. You know, you can get it open otherwise, but we know that phrase, a toe in the door. But think about a foothold. Now, Ephesians 4:27, it says, it recommends, it encourages, it teaches us, and do not give the devil a foothold. And gossip is the foothold that the enemy uses to infiltrate the lives of so many believers. Listen, friend, I want you to understand me. You can be an avid student of the Scripture. You can be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. You can work and serve and teach classes, and you can do missions. You can be a fervent prayer warrior. You can do all these things that demonstrate the marks of Christian growth and a mature believer, and all it takes is just a little bit of gossip to allow the evil one to get a foothold in your life, in your spiritual life. That is how insidious and how infectious gossip can be. Harmful, how harmful it can be. And once that door into your heart is cracked, the enemy can just blow it open and move right in. And gossip seems so harmless, and yet it is one of the number one avenues where the enemy gets into the lives of believers. Something else that gossip accomplishes, number two, is that it gets you branded as untrustworthy. Am I right? Do you not know the people in your life that you don't want to tell things to? Because you know that they will get around, that they will get out. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Man, I love this verse. The one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip. Avoid someone with a big mouth. Y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Well, that's good stuff right there. And I've learned this lesson entirely too well in 54 years of living and about 30 of them in the ministry. I have learned that lesson entirely. I've learned to be careful in whom you confide things. And just a moment of confession. I had someone who was a dear friend, I thought. He was a member of the church where I was on staff, and we spent time together. We went on trips together. We were close. I thought the bonds were very deep, to the point where I felt that I was in a place where I was in a struggle, and I could share that struggle with them and get them to pray with me and to pray for me. And so I opened up, and it took less than 48 hours for my words to get back to me. And that confidence that I had was absolutely destroyed, and that transparency was blown up because it was actually used as a weapon. It was weaponized. What I shared in confidence and in hurt was weaponized against me, and that's happened more than once in my personal life as a pastor. And each time, it teaches me. I don't have a list written on paper anywhere. That's probably illegal these days, but I got a list in my heart of who I trust and who I absolutely don't. I love them. I can love them to death and go to the mat for them, but I'm not going to tell them anything that I don't want everybody else to know, because I know who I cannot. You don't always know who you can trust, but you know what? We know who we cannot. And being a gossip gets you branded as being untrustworthy. Another unfortunate thing that being a gossip does to you is that it makes you a relationship destroyer. And I don't know about you, but that's just, I don't want to be that person, do you? Proverbs 17, verse 9, whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. You know, relationships are destroyed, lives are shattered, marriages are damaged, communities of people such as churches are brought to their knees sometimes because just a few words are spoken by someone, words that may or may not have been completely true, but words of gossip. I knew somebody who once attended church pretty faithfully, and then one day someone within the church went to this friend of mine's workplace and to talk to his employer to inform the employer that he believed that his employee was running around on his wife with another woman because he had seen him ride in the car with this pretty young woman. And I'm thinking, who does that? Who does that? It goes to their boss and accuses them of having an affair because he saw him with a pretty young woman, didn't know. Of course, it didn't matter that this supposed homewrecker was his first cousin, that they had grown up together and was from out of town, and he'd gone to pick up at the airport to bring home for a family visit. But you know, that gossiping intrusion has ensured that that young man doesn't want anything else really to do with that church at all. And he kind of doesn't want anything to do with church, period, because of what was done to him. I mean, it almost blew his life up, almost blew up his marriage over something like that. You see how damaging it can be? It can make you a relationship destroyer by speaking some words of concern. You know, we got to figure out some boundaries in our world where we have to know what's our place and kind of what's not our place. You know what I mean? And if there's a spiritual thing, you need to go, you know, if that they thought that was going on, who'd they need to go to? The young fella, right? Right? Makes sense, but that's too hard to do. That's confrontational. It's easier to go talk about them to somebody else. That's gossip, and that's what we do. A fourth thing that it does to you, if you participate in this behavior, and to me, if I do it, is that it ruins your fellowship with God. You realize that? That, I mean, it just brings your fellowship with God to the brink. I want you to think about what James said. We've looked at this verse the last 2 weeks, and here it is again. It'll probably come up again next weekend. I'm not sure. But James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. No matter what amount of religion you've got, or how many practices you hold to, or how much discipleship, or patterns, daily disciplines that you observe, if you can't control your mouth, if you succumb to the lure of gossip, you can and will ruin that. You'll interrupt, you'll build a wall in that personal relationship that you have with God. Why? Because it's sin. Gossip is sin. It's a wanton act of disobedience despite all the multiple calls, commands, warnings from the Most High God. And so it's just as much sin as anything else is sin. And we kind of think it, those of us who do it, get caught up in it, we think it's not, but it is, and it harms, it ruins sometimes our relationship with God. I got a picture I would like to show you. What are those? Bricks. All right. And Jeff Hunter, I'm grateful to Jeff. He's like retired from the bricking business. But he brought me a couple of bricks for an out. So what are, there's a nice pile of bricks. What are bricks useful for? We like to stack them up, don't we? We can stack them. We put some mortar in there between them. We can build cool stuff. We can build barbecue grills, right? Some of us have that half-started barbecue grill made out of bricks. It never really pans out, you know. We build those. In Trigg County, you got to build these around your mailboxes. Because if you ever do get snow, you can kiss your mailbox goodbye, you know what I mean? So we build houses with them. We build sheds. We build all kinds of amazing things with bricks. And it's pretty cool if you think about what bricks are, you know, and how they're made. They're just basically like clay and rock stuff that they cook and they make bricks. And where we go in Peru, you know, they'll make them out of mud. You know, they'll just make them out of mud and let them dry in the sun and build houses out of them. So bricks are handy. Bricks can be used to construct things, to build things up. Beautiful homes, beautiful buildings. But what else can you do with a brick? Some of us need to have a talk. Here's some confessing going on, because that's what happens. People generally say things that they've actually done. Right. But yeah, a brick can be used as a weapon. Yeah, an alley apple, yeah. Yeah. See, out of the alley you might throw an apple, but in the alley is an alley apple, right? You can end a life with a brick. You can crush someone's skull with it. You can build a house, or you can end a life. And it's just like our words, the words we speak. We can use our words, we can build people up, we can build things up, or we can destroy. Same brick. Two very different purposes. Words, the same thing. You know, the same words, the same exact words spoken in love to someone can maybe rebuke, but ultimately disciple and help build someone up. But on the other hand, over here, spoken about someone, spread like a wildfire and destroy a life, tear them down. Same words. So, you know, I want you to think of words that way. If there's nothing else you remember today, I want you to think of your words as bricks, and what are you doing with them? Are you constructing or are you destructing? Because we have those choices to make every single time we speak. So what about your word? How are you going to use your words? Are you going to build up or are you going to tear down? Let's pray together. Father, you remind us today of the incredible power of our words. They can be so destructive, and they can be so long-lived. They can replicate and multiply and morph and change and do so many crazy destructive things. And I fear that most of the time we are just so casual, so loose with our speech. We go about our days tossing about tidbits of information with great glee, and we're sometimes oblivious to the damage that they might cause. And we forget the fact that we can't ever get them back. Once words have jumped upon the winds of someone's breath, they spread just like James declared. They spread like a wildfire, an out-of-control forest fire, like a spark. God, I pray that you would let our tongues, let our words be tempered with wisdom, to be tempered with grace. Let our minds be pure, let our hearts be pure, free and absent of all intent of malice. God, don't allow us, your children, to find any satisfaction at all in loose speech or in the spreading of rumors. Make us repulsed by it, Lord. Help us to heed those words of the Apostle Paul who declared that we should not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. Make our words helpful building blocks of life and grace, O Lord. May they cease being used as rocks to stone another human soul. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you look on the back of that worship guide, you still got some blanks, so we still got some writing to do. It's not much. It's some little short ones. But the card said rips out. See, it's perforated. We're so clever. We got one. We buy them that way, actually. Tears right out. It says, my decision today. This is a discipling message. It's what we do. But perhaps you have questions about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have three young people in our church who have made that decision to trust Christ, to follow Him as their Lord and as their Master and as their Savior. And they've received the promise of eternal life. And today they're going to make that decision public in the most uniquely Christian way, where we go, and it kind of makes no sense at all, but what we do is we go and are immersed in water as a picture of what Christ has done in our lives. A picture of Jesus going into the grave and coming back out brand new and alive. Right? Isn't that beautiful? So baptism is a picture of the resurrection. We're going to do that across the road in the cattle trough in just a little bit. These young people have made that decision. They've trusted Christ. Maybe that's a decision that you have questions about, and so you would like to know. We would love to talk to you about that. After we have lunch today, if you have questions about our baptism and how we do things, because some of you come from a different background, perhaps. We have people that come from different walks of faith, different denominations, or non-denominations. Some denominations do something called sprinkling. Some do something called pouring. It's all baptism, and it's all intended for the right things. We would never say that that's not right, that just doesn't count. But what we're saying is that in this body, we try to get back to that image, and we know from the Scripture when Jesus was baptized, He came up out of the water. And that had to mean He was down in the water. And we know that from Jewish history, the Jewish ritual baptism that they were imitating was to go in water and come out. The Greek word baptizo means to plunge and then bring up, like they had a cloth put in and into water with dye to dye the cloth. They held that under. They put rocks on it, kept it under when they did the baptizo. We don't do that. So it's a beautiful and simple, simple thing. Maybe you have questions about baptism. Love to talk to you about that. Or how we do the Lord's Supper, known as communion, and how often and our pattern for doing that. We don't do it as often as some. Some churches do that every week, some monthly. You know, we're more in the every other month to about a quarterly range. We don't want to be legalistic about it, but we want it to be a teaching moment. And so I'd love to talk to y'all about that or any other questions you have about life in our church write those down. Make sure your name and all are on here, and we can get together and talk about those things, okay? So this is how you can let me know what you have questions about, what's on your mind today. Now, let's talk quickly. You notice we're a little running a little ahead of schedule today. I'm trying to save you some from that, you know, that late afternoon heat and all that. I'm just kidding. I'm hungry. I've had two boiled eggs and a cup of yogurt today, man. You know, it's like, you know, and the Spirit's moving me to get done and go over there to lunch because Ronnie's cooking barbecue and chickens all day yesterday. You know, look how red he is. He's all sunburned and everything. So, you know, so we got some good food waiting. But let's talk about how to shut down gossip. Because that's what we, you know, that's really, this is our strategy. When we encounter gossip, either coming at us or coming from us, we have to make that conscious choice as believers that it's something that needs to be shut down. You know, y'all know what shutting things down is. We all have, you know, we got power switches on pretty much everything. We shut it down. If something's not working right, what do? We turn it off, turn it back on, and restart it. I want you to think of gossip. When you encounter gossip, think of the scenario of powering down and powering back up. It needs to be shut down. So how can we shut it down? Well, number one, please write this simple word down. Number one, they're all R words. I didn't do it on purpose, but maybe I did. I don't know. Number one is just to refuse it, to refuse gossip. Here's the thing. We need to find a place where we don't want to hear about someone unless the someone wanting to talk to us has talked to that someone first. Did you get that? In other words, don't tell me about what you think you've heard. You go tell the person that it's about. You talk to them. Talk to them, not about them. We just have to refuse it. You say, you know, when it starts, time out. No, not for me. Not for me. Shouldn't be for you. Not for me. All right? Number two, rebuke it. Rebuke it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, rebuking it in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about, you know, getting revival on it or anything like that. But to rebuke means to call it out. Right? It means to question the truthfulness of a statement, confront the gossiper, ask them, have you talked to this person that you're trying to tell this about? Have you confirmed this? You know, because, you know, so we have to rebuke it. Of course, we do so in a spirit of love. Right? Right? To rebuke it. And then number three is to redirect it. To redirect it. And the best way to redirect a gossiper is to look at them and tell them, I think you really need to pray about that, what you're saying right now. You want to talk to somebody about somebody, talk to God about that somebody, right? If you want to talk to somebody about somebody else, talk to God. He'll listen. Now, the thing is, he ain't going to tell anybody else. So that might not be part of your goal. That's a good thing, though, right? So redirect that gossip. And so that is, have you heard about gossip? I had to show that picture. I ran across that picture and I thought, that's awesome. That's humanity in that snapshot right there. But hopefully you've learned something today and can have some tools in your arsenal for better living and having better command. I hope that I do, because I struggle with the temptation of gossip just as much as anyone. Okay? We all struggle with it. It is part of our human nature. But hopefully I'll give you some tools to work with. Now, as the offering baskets come, you give as God leads you to give. You drop those cards in there and pens. Guests, just give us that card. We'd like to have that so we can send you a thank you note. Have a couple of announcements before we... A very pointed message from your word. Very specific. This is an issue of struggle that we all deal with from time to time, and I pray that you have given us the resources that we need biblically, just a few things that would guide us toward deeper study, but not just that, but it's not just about the study, but just to do what your word says, to be doers and not hearers only. So help us to be a people who would combat this practice that hurts people, this thing called gossip. Now, as we go, I pray you would give us a sweet time of fellowship together, that you would bless each and every person and every family in this room. You help our young people to have a great week at school. Help these men and women to be productive in their jobs and prosperous in their work. Bless our families and give us harmony and unity at home so we can have harmony and unity when we all come together. And God, just let us go out and be a people who would love you in front of a cold and dark world who needs to see that love in action. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.